Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions.
Hopefully.
Well, maybe. Life is a fight. In business, every day is a fight. So, hey, what's your problem?
Yes, thank you, John David Wells, the big voice from Texas. This is from the Big Dot HQ in Spring Hill, Tennessee. The What's Your Problem podcast, sponsored by Big Dot Lighting, Big Dot Electrical. You can go check those guys out. Check us out at BigDotLighting.com. This is a podcast about business owners, business professionals from around this area, in the Middle Tennessee area. You know, we got Spring Hill people, Franklin people, Thompson Station people, Asheville people, all coming down here to the Hill to talk about their problems and the current challenges they're having in their business. Of course, we're going to tell their stories, have a little fun, and get into it. I am your host. I am Jim McCarthy, partner here with Big Dot Inc., as well as JimMcCarthyVoiceovers.com. Today, I am very excited. We got a great guest, a dear, dear, dear friend of mine, who I worked with, several years ago. We started in 2014, actually late 2013 is when I made the transition to Mercedes-Benz, a Mercedes-Benz dealership here in the region, and instantly hit it off with this gentleman, became fast friends, shared a lot of professional advice, you know, cried on each other's shoulders, went on training trips together, and I left the business, he remained in the business, and he's since hockey sticked and has done an amazing job at building up his reputation, his relationships, his online presence. I mean, the dude is a walking, talking fashion brand, for crying out loud. Please welcome my good friend, Mr. Xavier Darden. Welcome, sir.
Glad to be here. How you doing?
Yeah. How'd you like that intro? Is that good?
That was pretty nice.
I think that was deserving of you.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You're the man.
Could I have done better?
No.
No? We'll just leave it at that, right?
That's right.
So, man, let's just start out. You have a very, I think, acute business mind. And where did you get that from? Was it something that your parents did? Did you grow up something like that?
Or? You know what? Actually, I think it did come from family. My grandmother, she always, she was always in her Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
And I was, you know, she always had a nice car, mm-hmm. but she owned a lot of like bars, that kind of thing. So she was into restaurants, that kind of thing. And,
She was
a business owner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I can understand and appreciate, you know, the ups and downs of businesses, you know, from just,
well, especially,
you know,
in the car business. That's
exactly.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, with a lot of people in their businesses right now, you know, they're struggling. So,
oh yeah, it's definitely it is a somewhat of a wartime economy right now.
It really is.
Certainly not peacetime. But I mean, you guys with Mercedes-Benz and Music City, which, by the way, we had Amy in here the other day.
Oh, cool. Okay.
If you guys want to check out that episode, she talks about the Dream Motor Group and how they're just, it's an amazing, amazing culture in an industry like the car business. It's tough to find a group of dealerships that gets culture right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, they practice it every single day. So continuing on, you just basically, you went to college at some point. I know that, right?
Right. That's right.
Did you do the fraternity thing and all that stuff?
I didn't get a chance to do the fraternity thing until a little bit after. Actually, I was already out of college.
Right.
And I had some gentlemen from Kappa Alpha Psi that was, you know, good buddies of mine. And I was like, well, it seems like a good, you know, good group to be a part of. And mm-hmm. so I, since then, became a member.
And I got to say, first off, before I might forget to mention it, that you are a Spring Hill resident.
I am.
Yes.
I love it out here.
And you work up at Mercedes-Benz of Music City.
That's right.
Just off of runway 13 at the Nashville International Airport.
We're at the airport, buddy.
As Edwin likes to say, one exit from the airport.
That's right.
I mean, it's literally right there.
It is. It is.
So,
great location.
So getting into college and everything, was it you? Did you always want? I mean, because basically you are in your own business.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I always tell people the car business is like being in your own business without the risks and headaches of health insurance and employees. And you can literally build your own business inside of a business if you right. really understand that it takes time, it takes relationships, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
was
yeah.
that something that, I mean, how did you get into the car business?
Well, you know what? That's interesting you asked that. So it was kind of like a, it was something that I wasn't expecting. Okay. When I graduated from college, like a lot of people, you just didn't know, kind of what you were going to do. I mean, it was like, you know, here I am, business major, graduate from college.
You got the world telling you, you got to make a decision now.
Yeah, now. And I'm like, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And so it was the weirdest thing. Like I was actually just graduated and I was going to get ready to take my wife to a pageant down in Chattanooga.
And she was in fashion and
And all that good stuff.
So what? So her background was similar to yours.
It was.
You met her in college.
I did.
Okay.
And so I was, so the way that I got into kind of the car business was I was getting a tire changed and nice gentleman. He was, you know, said to me, hey, I think it's great. You just graduated from college. You know, it was my second time actually going there. And, you know, I spent a little time with this business owner. And, you know, he hooked me up, get my tires right. I was, you know, broke. So,
of course,
I had to go to the place where they had the best prices. So he was like, hey, man, you know, I think you have a great personality. You should definitely consider maybe selling cars. Have you ever thought about doing that?
Right.
And what's funny is I was told that some years before that, back when I was, you know, in like a freshman in college. So it was kind of weird. But anyways, I ended up, you know, taking his advice, going to see his friend at Alexander Toyota. I didn't get the job because they weren't offering jobs.
Right.
At the time, they didn't have
a what year was this? Late 90s?
This was... No. you know, I'm... he aged me, man.
I'm sorry. Well, you're late 30s, right?
Yeah,
I'm
30, yeah. Actually, it was... I think it was back...
Sorry.
It's all right. It was back in, I believe it was 2005.
I got you. Okay.
So it was 05. I walked into Alexander Toyota, talked to this gentleman who was the sales manager at the time. He said, hey, you know, you're a great kid, but we're just not hiring right now.
Right.
But, you know, maybe check out some of the other local dealers.
I'm sure. They were in Franklin at the time, right? Were they downtown?
I was in Murfreesboro.
Oh.
Yeah, Alexander Toyota in Murfreesboro.
Yeah, because they had like 28 dealerships across the region.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. So I ended up taking his advice and I just, you know, he's like, I went literally drove to the next dealership that I saw and it was Beeman Dodge and, you know.
In Murfreesboro.
In Murfreesboro. And, you know, I went in there. Guy was like, hey, you can start today if you want. Like, all right. So I ended up, you know, starting the next day and yes. Rest is history.
Rest is history. Because you went from, I know you went from Dodge to Nissan.
That's correct.
And did you ever see yourself selling Mercedes at some point?
You know what? It was something that I thought of. A nice gentleman by the name of Mike Willoughby. He was the man. You know, at every store, you've got that guy that's like a machine that just sells the heck out of all the cars. And he was like, you know what, Xavier, I think based on, you know, me just knowing you, I think you would be better fitted at like a luxury dealer.
Right.
And you should probably consider that at some point.
See, that's, you know, it's funny. I had a guy tell me the same thing. I was selling Honda, as you know, at the time.
Yeah. And
you know, somebody came in and said, you really ought to sell Highline. And I never saw myself fitting into that brand, you know, but at the time I didn't have that mindset. You know, I didn't think of that was a possibility because we would, you know, the company we worked for owned domestic and midline and highline brands throughout the Nashville area. So you'd go and deliver cars to these other dealerships like BMW and everything and Porsche. And you'd see the people that work there, the caliber of people. And in my mind, I just didn't measure up. And then he got this one customer came and said, look, you can do this. You've got the relationship skills. You like what you're doing. Why not have your Sundays off, make more money per car, deal with people who could actually, you know, they could pull the trigger on a car, whether, you know, it's an $80,000 or $90,000 car and it's like, you know, pocket change to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I looked it up and I'm like, you know, maybe I will.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, the rest is history.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, did you find that you started the same dealership I did?
That's right.
I guess a couple of years earlier than I did.
Yeah, just a couple of years. So,
right.
Yeah, so I was pretty
all fresh. I remember about coming into that, because I came onto the Honda sales floor and they just threw you to the wolves.
Right, right.
With this one, they were like, no, you need to go through the training and you need to get certified to a certain level before you can even talk to a customer.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so it was like the last 2 weeks of December, and it was kind of cool because it was the end of the year and you saw everybody getting Christmas gifts, and here I was embarking on a whole new tangent of life, and you know there was hope there for me, you know, and we just kind of got into it, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, what really is the difference between a Honda Accord fully decked out and like, you know, these E-class things. And somebody I'd offered up to you guys while I was training, I said, look, I need to get familiar with the cars. Why don't I, you know, if you need me to go get it gassed up or taken back, I'll go do it for you. So somebody took me up on it, handed me a gas card. I hop into it and I'm going, okay, how do I start this thing? But I mean, once I got in, I was like, Right. Oh.
Yeah.
I feel the difference. Then, you know, hit the engine, you start driving, and oh, now I get it.
Yeah, how this about nice. When you got into S-Class for the first time and started getting that massage?
Interesting enough, we didn't have an S-Class in stock for probably a good month or maybe a month and a half. Yeah. So, I mean, someone told me, so if you really want to learn the brand, just dive into an S-Class and it inside and out. So we got one, and I think, it wasn't the first six-figure car I was in, because the second car I sold there was an SL550.
Yep.
And so that was like when I called my wife, I'm like, I just sold a six-figure car. It was $115,000. I sold someone's house just now. And, you know, that was an experience driving and preparing. I didn't take it on the road or anything. But yeah, once you got the S-Class in.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a car, as a car salesman, you don't mind taking a test drive.
That's right. That's right.
You hop in. I'm getting in the back. You know, you have the front. I want to be chauffeured. Right?
Right.
Isn't that crazy? Oh, so yeah. Talk about, you know, as you get into Mercedes, did you have a likewise experience or did you kind of just fall right into it?
I'd imagine
you just kind of fell right into it.
Well, it was kind of a small portion of what you experienced as well. You know, it was a bit of...
It's intimidating.
Of yeah, it was intimidating. And the crazy thing is I actually went to another Mercedes dealer. I mean, even like years into... being with the brand.
Which one?
I went to North Houston. So when we went for training, me and Richie, you remember Richie?
I do.
So we went out for some training, 780 or whatever it was. And we just were like, we didn't have anything to do. We had some idle time. We're like, hey, let's go to a Mercedes dealer. Let's go mess with
them. What better thing to do while we're out?
So we went and messed with them, went inside, and it was just like, it was amazing. I mean, if you go to North Houston Mercedes, I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it was just this big, huge, massive dealer.
This is prior to Mercedes-Benz of the Woodlands.
Yes, yes. So I went there, looked at it, and it was just the coolest experience. And it was intimidating is the point.
Yeah.
I mean, walking in there, it's like all these high-end cars. And I'm like, man, you know, this place was even nicer than our store. So, but it was fun. It was fun. Yeah. I could understand how, you know, people felt. And so for me, it was kind of cool.
Did they have that vibe, though, you know, even though you...
They were not what we are at Mercedes-Benz Music City.
Right.
No means. It was just, I mean, it was kind of like very similar to the other store that we worked at where people just weren't really, you know, they weren't eager to assist you. But
yeah, I mean, I think there were some of us, I think we were pretty good there.
Yeah.
You know, about, you know,
but in our day it was good. We did.
Yeah. I mean, basically, in our day. Exactly.
Yeah.
I would have to say, and I always put it out there like this, that, you know, just because we're a Mercedes dealer doesn't mean you can't buy an $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 car.
Yeah.
And we have them.
That's right. And I have to remind people that all the time.
Yeah.
You know, people thinking like when they see me, oh, I can't afford a Mercedes. It's
doesn't
like,
matter.
Yeah, you actually can.
Yeah.
You know, we've got all kinds of ranges. So, I mean,
and you got CPO, you've got all, you know, off brand and all that stuff.
Everything. Yeah.
The thing that I always liked about it, at least I made it, you know, if I had to do it all over again, you and I talked about this, I would certainly do like the B&I thing, you know, and just dig into that and at least get two or three referrals a month off of B&I, because we were a safe dealership. You know, we didn't jicky jack is an automotive term. Let me just preface that. Jicky jack with people.
Right.
You know, we were pretty straightforward and I enjoyed that. It enabled me to sleep at night. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I mean, the same thing at Music City.
Yeah. And your reputation is everything. So, I mean, you know, I've had clients, I mean, there's people, I mean, I got neighbors, man, my neighborhood that have bought cars from me.
Isn't that funny though? How you like, you really don't like selling to friends and family.
It's different. Yeah. I think the expectations are a little higher from them.
Not because you're giving them similar deals, but you're like hoping to God that nothing's wrong with the car.
Yeah, because you just want to take care of them. And that's just naturally.
Because you got to hear about it otherwise.
That's right. That's
right. I will never forget. My in-laws came and bought a brand new Honda. I mean, it's a Honda.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing going to go wrong with it. Yeah. They came all the way from Charlotte to buy from me. and visit us and everything. And they come after a 7-8 hour drive. They're tired. They come into the dealership. I got everything all ready to go. And this is how naive I was at the time. The month had changed. So the financing deals that Honda was offering had shifted. But I mean, it was minuscule. Like the financing rate, the incentivized financing, half a point.
Just a wee bit higher.
So when I came in there, you know, the guy who was handling the F&I, he kind of waved me in. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know, the last thing you want to do as a car salesman is you have your customers in the box, as though what they call it, and have the F&I guy call you in because, oh crap, what's wrong? And it's my in-laws in there. So I go in there and he's like, you know, my father-in-law kind of looks back like, what'd you get us into? Kind of look on his face. And I'm going, he says, you know, it's just, I just wanted to explain to them that the finance change and my and he kind of looked at me. He's like, it's like $3. It's fine. You know, that's how much it changed the payment. But my gosh, it was freaking harrowing.
I know you're a nerd.
Dude, I was like 4 months, 5 months into this brand new career.
Right, right.
You know, still not sure whether I wanted to do it or not.
Right.
It was not fun. So you're getting in there. I mean, this is the same kind of situation with Mercedes-Benz of the Music City, I've had a lot of interactions there. I've brought people to the table there.
You have.
And every single instance has been just straightforward, you know. They're not going to jicky jack with you.
Oh, right? Yeah. And that's what it's about 100%. I mean, and as we were talking about just a business within a business, I mean, that's essentially what it is.
Yeah. And you've done that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's important. And see, the beauty of it is what you start to find is that the world is a lot smaller than what you think.
Right.
You know, because everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you get to a certain level, you know, everybody knows everybody. So, you know, I'll go to, you know, just simple things like, the guy, you know, there's one of the guys that owns this German, it's like a German restaurant in Opry Mills. It's
okay.
Like the big, they have the cars and I went to Cars and Coffee and then he has like some sort of a European coffee thing that they do. But the crazy thing is he knows like all my clients. I go to meet this guy, this past, Saturday and, just was, you know, just shooting stuff with him. And, you know, my general sales manager mentioned, hey, here's some of my sales guys that actually went to Cars and Coffee. Maybe you can meet them. Maybe they can bring some cars over to your event. But it was crazy because we got to talking and he knows like all the people I know. So it just goes to show you have to take care of your people. You know, you have to nurture that circle and,
well,
you know,
well, your
that's
people,
how you build your business.
Well, I mean, it's, and you have an understanding of that, but for somebody that's new coming into the business, if you're not working in a culture that understands that you take care of your frontline people and of course, everybody else in the dealership,
that's right.
You're shooting yourself in the foot.
100% of the time.
You know, I mean, you start getting into the modes of finding ways to eke money here and there and mm-hmm. start taking from, you know, that's kind of what we experienced, which is why you bounced out of where you were. And
that is correct. That is correct. Cause you know, service, you know, me and my reputation and what I can do for people is, you know, that's what I'm about. You know, that's what makes this business for me a lot easier, you know, because it's just a natural thing for me. There's nothing that's
pretending. Service from the top down, man.
Oh yeah. 100%. And so, you know, the thing is most of the time when people come to see me, it's an exciting event, you know. When people are going to get that Mercedes, it's a celebration.
It has to be.
Oh yeah,
it's a monumental.
Oh, yeah.
I've earned this
exactly, and so it's your job to help them celebrate, right? And to not have all these snags and all these different things. So I think being as efficient as you can is what's going to, you know, create that trust.
What was the fastest transaction you've ever had?
Ooh, we. Fastest transaction I've ever had. Holy shit, actually. Man, I've had a couple now. I had to think back on that.
From welcome to Mercedes-Benz Music City to hear the keys.
All right, I'd say the fastest transaction, believe it or not, was selling a $225,000 GTR Pro.
That was the fastest transaction?
Fastest quarter million dollar car? $250,000 car.
I'm not talking about the car going fast.
I'm talking about the transaction. I'm talking, I'll take it. Money wire transfer. There you go.
What was the, what was the timing?
I mean, the timing was, man, I'm talking in and out of there in probably maybe an hour and a half.
Okay. I've got your beat.
Yeah. Do you?
Mine was a Toyota FJ Cruiser.
Okay, and really nice, cool.
It was a cult car.
They got the old
crew. Yeah, yeah. You know, at our dealership at the time, and literally the guy called up, said, "Hey, I'm interested in this. Have it ready for me. I'll be there in 20 minutes." Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I went and got it ready. Watched it up. It was a Saturday.
Okay.
So, you know, he says, "I'm probably going to be paying cash or whatever and everything." So I organized everything and preemptively printed out the paperwork. Like, that was assuming the sale. I didn't even show it to him yet.
Oh, yeah.
So he gets there. He looks at it. We take it around the block. We come back and, you know, he's like, "Let's do it." Okay. You know, handed off the paperwork to Allison at the time.
Okay.
45 minutes.
Dang.
It was 45 minutes. That's nice. Dude tipped me.
I've been tipped before, too. Yeah, that's a great feeling, too.
Yes, people. Believe you me, if you're working with somebody at a dealership.
Yeah.
Especially a Honda, a Toyota, any of those types of dealerships, they're not making as much money as you think. Take care of your salesperson. If they're taking care of you, they're working their butts off.
They are, yes.
For maybe $150.
Yeah, and people don't even realize it.
They don't realize it.
That's the crazy thing. And even at Mercedes, I mean, there's instances where, you know, I'll sell a Benz, man, and it's not, you know, it's $250.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If it's a Mini, I mean, or it could be a lot more money.
Here we are. So uncovering the secrets.
But you
got
to take care of everybody the same. That's the way it works. That is how I conduct business.
Now, talk a little bit about you. You really started building up the business within a business. When did you start realizing that could be a real thing?
Well, you know what? Actually, you and I had that conversation.
Yeah.
You know? So I know. That's the funny part, you know? Yeah, it was me and you. We were talking one day.
Was it when we were still working together? Or?
It was then, yeah. Because, I mean, the crazy thing, you had already been talking about that way back. You were like, "Hey, man, we can, you know, this is, you know, create the business, you know, branding yourself." I mean, that's one of the things that I've, you know, I neglected at first. Mm-hmm. And then I've tried, you know, in my own way to try to figure out how do I brand myself to grow my business, you know? Because at the end of the day, you know, your reputation, your name, you know, that's what's going to resonate with people. And that's what, you know, they're going to take care of you if you take care of them.
So you branded yourself as the luxury car consultant.
That's right. So luxury automotive coach. So that's right.
That's right. I got to find a sound effect for that. I'm going to give it a, there we go. We'll drop a gunshot on that because I mean, that's luxury automotive coach.
That's right.
That's a great, great title for you. Because you have the look. I mean, you are one of the best dressed people I've ever known. You're always dressed sharply and ready to mingle and mix and everything. You know, more than I could say for myself because I'm just like, I just throw on clothes. So let's get into the whole thing, why you're here. And we have a new jingle we're going to debut right now. I think I have it pulled up. Let's see. Hold on. That's not it. Here we go.
What's your problem?
So, Xavier, what's your problem? What kind of problems and challenges are you having these days?
You know what? Within these days, I think the biggest problems is really keeping focus on, you know, what really matters, you know? Because, you know, just right now, I think the problem for most people is we're so worried about, you know, all these other distractions and things that are going on in the world. But the things that matter is really family.
You of course.
Know, and taking care of them, spending that quality time with them, enjoying them, you know?
Because in this business that you're in, it really is a business that you're running and it can overtake your life. It can consume it.
So making sure that, you know, kid wants to, like, just like, for instance, today, my son, he wants to put a Christmas tree up. I know it's a little early, but that's his thing. He was like, "Yeah, Dad, we're going to put that Christmas tree up." So making that time for him and really, you know, focusing on family. Yeah, I got to work. I got to do things. But, you know, making sure that you don't forget what's the most important is.
That was the toughest thing for me was that on the weekends I was exhausted.
Yeah. And you know it firsthand what I'm talking about.
Because, I mean, I tell the story all the time. When I did work for Honda, I worked for probably two and a half weeks straight without a day off. Mm-hmm. And I know it sounds trivial. A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
But when you're, you know, I came out of radio.
But in our business, it's a lot of hours.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's, you know, you go bell to bell.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, at where we were, it was 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, there was no getting off at 7.
And just think about it. Just because it's 8 o'clock doesn't mean that's when you're going to leave.
That's true.
How many times you're probably out there by midnight, maybe 10, 11:30, you know, it happens. You know, people, client comes in right at 7:45. "Hey, I'm ready to buy this car. Who's going to sell me a car?"
Yeah. You got to be at their beck and call.
Yeah, you got to be ready. So yeah. It is what it is.
That's, I mean, when you have your back against the wall. But I mean, that the end of that 2 weeks, I was punch drunk.
Yeah.
I would have, and that was the dry spell I went through. I didn't sell a car for 2 weeks. It was excruciating.
Yeah.
I would bring a deal to the desk and lay it on there and be like, oh, say, they're looking at a 2014 CRV and I can't even articulate.
And it's funny what you're saying. So just speaking of just the problems, right? Okay, we'll focus more on just the business itself.
Yeah.
So one of the problems that I would have, I guess, within my business that I'm always fighting for, and I'm always helping other salespeople understand this too, is keeping that positive attitude and outlook. Because the reality is a lot of times, you know, in my business, you'll have people that are, you know, they're buyers. They're just not ready.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, and you're like, I gotta make this happen now. Cause you know, I'm on a monthly, you know, type of, you know, that's my deadline is every month. Right.
Yeah. It's easy to get sidetracked just, you know, get into really dark places with your mentality.
So staying positive, knowing that, hey, these five people that I've talked to, they may not buy a car. The first five people you talk to, but the next 10 may all be buying cars. And if your attitude is not where it needs to be, they may not want to do business with you.
But I think, you know, after a couple of years of doing it, you understand it is what it is.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's always something.
That's right.
That's actually one of the guys we used to work with, Greg. Mm-hmm. He saw me having.
He always said, always
something. He told that to me one day as he was walking in.
He did.
I was still there. You know, I was, I just got in. It was morning time. So I think he was on the late shift. You know, that's the thing is that they had late shift and early shift. Yeah. If you were in the early shift, I still stayed late.
Yeah. I was about to say, yeah, you're shrewd. Yeah. You're the shrewd
person. Pretty much. So he would always come in like, you know, 9, 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And I was just having one of those days, you know, and he saw it written all over me. And I go, he's like, what's wrong? I said, I got this going on and this didn't go right and this unwound and blah, blah, blah. He just looked at me and he goes, it's always something. And as soon as he said that, I still take that with me.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
yeah,
when you realize that about life in general.
Right, right, right.
It makes everything just more palatable.
Right.
You know?
But it's you, it's how you deal with it.
Yeah.
It's what's going to define you.
I don't think I dealt with it very well back then.
I don't think I did either. It took a little while. I'm still working at it, you know.
But you started there, I want to say, in what, 2010, 2011?
Actually, it was 2012, believe it or not.
Yeah. So you were about 2 years before I got there.
Yeah.
So you are now 8 years into selling the brand.
That's right.
So I always have this thing about the 5 year, I guess, component. So with anything that you do, it takes about, you know, if you're launching a business like at Big Dot, we're going into our fifth year, believe it or not.
Right.
And right now is where we're starting to feel like we're getting traction.
That's right.
You know, we got traction about a year ago. We had some money in the bank. Then we're like, hey, let's buy a building, man. Kiss all the money in the bank goodbye because all it's now in here.
Right.
But now we got to rebuild that base up, and cash flow is king and all that stuff. So, you know, another 5 years down the road, we're going to be in a much different place. But man, you don't realize when you start a business,
you got to make sacrifices. Yeah,
it's going to take a while.
Oh yeah, you got to think about all the big guys. What is it? Apple, all the greatest, all these great companies. I mean, they started somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, 8 years in, when did you start seeing traction with what you were doing? When people started coming back and, you know,
it's funny you say that. Yeah. So on that subject about 5 years.
Yeah.
So the hardest decision I had to make was at my 5 year mark, when all those good things were happening.
Right.
I get a call.
That's right. I'm doing the math.
5 years, 3 years in, right?
Yeah.
So I get a phone call at my 5 year and my business is booming.
Yeah.
You know, even though there's, you know, other things going on.
Sure.
But I, you know, just like you have to make decisions. I had to make a executive decision. And
but I mean, you can, you know,
a risk
with social media, you can, you know, start your own page. Mm-hmm. And when you got to make a move or whatever, I mean, in that business, you can unplug.
Yeah.
I'm over here now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So that's kind of what happened. I was at the top of my game, you know, at the Mercedes dealer I was at. And at that 5 year mark, I had all kinds of clients. I had maybe at least minimum 3 or 4 referrals that would, you know, a repeat business.
Yeah.
So when, you know, 3 deals, that's a heck of a, you know, if I was some months, maybe 5 deals from people or just their family members calling me. I mean, it was just exploding. And right when it was exploding, I left.
What a decision you made though.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It was so just a great decision.
Yeah.
Because now it's like you're the guy for.
Yeah.
What, how much of the Titans do you sell to? Not that you want to disclose anything like that, but I mean,
let's just say a fair amount of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually went and dropped the G-Wagon off at one's house last night.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm so proud of you, man.
Yeah, it's been good.
I mean, and you have a lot of more influential people that, you know, because of the dealership, it has a high profile. Mm-hmm. It's run really well.
Oh, yeah.
I have such admiration for the CEO of that company.
Me too.
I've met him once. Mm-hmm. His name is Joe Agresti. He wants no pats on the back. He wants no accolades, no recognition. He just wants to do the grind and be in the business and do his day to day. He loves what he does.
He does.
But he is all about creating as positive a culture as he possibly can.
Yeah.
And he works on it every single day. Is that something that's true?
It's 100% true. I've never seen anything like it, to be honest with you.
Now, let me, with the CEO, you remember when the big wigs would come in and visit us and they wouldn't even, you know,
they wouldn't acknowledge anything. Yeah.
Now, when you first met him,
Mighty Mouse, that's what he called me. Mighty Mouse. Yeah, he even had a name for me. He's like Mighty Mouse. Like, you know, it was refreshing.
Yeah.
And it was surprising. Because I didn't expect, you know, him to be as down to earth as he is.
Right.
So that's the cool part about it. So it makes it even funner to be a greater representative. Yeah, you can get behind him and you want to represent, you know, for your team, you know, because essentially, even though we're a business within a business, we're still a team, you know, so you want to represent. And that's what makes it easier to do that.
Well, I mean, getting back to the problem that you addressed, the mindset.
Yes, yes.
I mean, what are some of the things that you go through to really try and, you know, the challenge, restate the challenge again, and some of the methodologies you use to overcome
the mindset? Well, the problem is keeping the right outlook, keeping the positive mentality, and keeping, I mean, through everything that goes on, we have to be positive.
Right.
I mean, just from everything from the election. I mean, I don't want to get into politics, but just being positive as we can, you know, is really key, mm-hmm. you know, because at the end of the day, you know, we're going to have to get up and do what we do.
Yep.
Big Dot's going to have to still keep, you know, moving on regardless of who's in the office, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, we're going to always be strong. I mean, that's just what I've always seen as a kid.
The minute you start betting against the American economy,
then you're in trouble. If we're down, we bounce back.
That's
the way it works.
So, I mean, your every day, is there a mantra that you tell yourself? What do you do? What do you practice?
Yeah. So for me, it's my thing is to always just kind of remember, you know, that someone else has it worse. It's not that bad.
That's awesome.
You know, so for me, in my mind, my mind state is always, it's not that bad. You know, I can literally get in my car.
That's magic.
That's right. It's magic.
That is magic. It's gratitude.
Yeah. So I get in the vehicle, go to lunch. I look to my left. There's someone there.
Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
The notion that you're able to just go to lunch in the car business.
Yeah.
Is... You know, that happened a lot where we worked. But at the Honda dealership, you didn't go
to lunch. You ate lunch.
You had to be on the floor.
You ate what you could, half a pizza from the Saturday that was still left in the fridge. Oh, man, there's still some pizza in there. You go in there and grab the pizza and, you know, go back to your client.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it worked. You ate on the run. I lost a lot of weight when I first started working the card business, probably 40 pounds.
Dang.
But so gratitude, getting back to that. I mean, what are getting out to lunch and you're looking next to you and...
Yeah, I mean, you see someone, you know, that's homeless.
Right.
You know, that can change. That can, you know, there's always those instant reminders around us.
Yeah.
Of, hey, it could be worse.
Right? I could be the new guy coming in.
Yeah.
Who has no idea what he's in for.
Has no clue. And what's crazy is we'll sit back and be like, you know, figuring out, like, is he going to last? I don't know. You know, and
I think was your impression when I started?
I was like, he's good. You know,
you think so?
Yeah, you're good, man. You remember when you were like, oh, I'm going to do something else. I was still like, nah, man. You know, but your reasoning, it was understandable because I eventually did the same thing. You know,
oh, dude, there was a massive purge out of the dealership.
It was a purge because and it was much needed. It just had to happen, you know. But just looking back, I mean, that was, you know, it was understandable.
You know, but I mean, I tell people it was one of the best educations I've ever received. You know, I think as in lieu of a college education that I kind of sort of had, this, you know, my years in the car business were immensely valuable because of the just learning sales fundamentals, learning how to close, learning how to talk to people, you know, understanding that the numbers on a page should not intimidate you.
Right.
That's it's right. the same thing over and over again. It's a fundamental kind of process.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of people in business in general, before you do anything, a lot of people, well, you should probably wait tables. No, dude, you should probably go sell cars.
Sell some cars.
Sell some cars.
It's and what's crazy is I'll be with clients and I'll make the process so smooth. I'll make it so seamless to where they feel as if it's the easiest thing to do until they're actually doing it. I've had people like, hey, I think I could probably do this. And I'm just like, yeah, you have no idea.
Dude, what, and then the other thing, this is another tangent. What I love about you is that when I do come there to shoot video, if you're available, I want you on my videos.
Right.
Like the one that keeps on popping up on Facebook is the your Mercedes-Benz Your Way.
Yeah, I see it. I'm going through every day now. I'm like, oh, yeah,
there you are.
It's the coolest thing.
Even getting the...
You make me look good. I appreciate you, buddy.
Dude, come on.
Come on, man.
You look like you're ready for the silver screen at any given moment. But you have just that aura about you. You ooze success. You have that kind of feel to you. You have that look. Even looking at the pictures that you and your wife take, it's like you are power couple bound. Is that something you've heard before?
I have. And the thing is, I want to try to, and that's what we want to do. We want to just try to, you know, just show people that you can still love each other.
That's right. Because she's a hottie.
Yeah. You can still, you know, celebrate yourselves. You know what I mean? Celebrate your relationship. And that's, you know, that's important.
I mean, if you go to Xavier's Facebook page or even you're on Instagram too, right?
That's right.
If you go to any of those pages, you're going to find like he stepped off of an Abercrombie and Fitch catalog. I mean, he's wearing hats and everything too. So envious of that. Now, is that a problem to find and keep up with all the latest fashion trends, or is that something you enjoy?
I enjoy it. I just enjoy living, man. You know, doing something different, you know, just constantly growing as a person.
Do you like the boxes that show up? Was it called Birchbox or some one of those things?
No, I've never really gotten into anything, any of the subscriptions or anything like that. But, you know, I take fashion cues from, you know, different people. You know?
I just like wearing the same things every day. You know, button down shirts, it's easy. I have no time for anything like that. Yeah. But you got the gold chains and everything. You look awesome.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of getting weird for you, isn't it?
No, I'm good.
But man, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, I mean, you can actually, hit me up on Facebook or on my Instagram.
Right.
Of course,
visit you at the dealership.
Yeah. I was about to say
you're there every day, but Wednesday and Sunday,
every day, but Wednesday and Sunday, come see me, Brawley Parkway.
That's right.
And you were talking about Envy. It's on 734 Envious Lane.
Of all things. Did you know that? The dealership is on Envious Lane.
Envious Lane. Things. That's right.
And let me tell you, I mean, if you're listening to this or watching this, it is to find a dealership where you can feel safe, you know, feel confident in your purchase. That is a dealership to go to.
That's right.
And you're going to get that Mercedes-Benz experience no matter what you're buying.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to take care of you on the service side as well as the...
That's the other thing, is that the service side, you know...
That's the most important part.
Loaners and all that stuff, readily available.
Oh, yeah. And earlier in our conversation, I had spoke about, hey, you know, we celebrate people's success. That's what we do, right? Yeah. You're helping, I mean, that person that was, you know, wanted that Benz, you know, they finally get to the point in life where they're able to afford one or get one or acquire it or whatever. And you have that vehicle, and then when it's time to service it, you know, the people... You know, if they're not treating you right on that side of the game, you know, when you're about to have to spend all this money to, you know, keep and maintain that car, you know, if you're getting jerked around, or what was the term you used?
Jiggy jacked
around.
I learned that from
it. It sours that whole experience. Yeah. So the goal of Mercedes-Benz Music City is to keep that going. You
know, and the thing is that
taking care of the client.
People sometimes, you know, you can put it out there that kind of thing comes at a premium as far as cost is, but it's not as much as you think.
That's right.
Because when you do things the right way, I mean, a dealership can motivate, or management and ownership at a dealership can motivate their people, of course, by monetary means, but also by creating that culture where you feel like you're appreciated.
Oh, yeah.
You're not a number. You know, the CEO, when I interviewed him in the Woodlands, about 2 years ago, I interviewed managers, salespeople, service advisors, all different people throughout the dealerships. The interviews typically lasted about 10 to 20 minutes. And when I interviewed them, what I mean is I'm getting, you know, little pieces and sound bites out of them. So Joe comes in, first time I've ever met him. He calls me some handsome dog or whatever. And we sat down. Dude, we talked for an hour and 45 minutes. That dude, you just sit there and you just listen.
Yeah. Because
he has got just nugget after nugget after nugget and wisdom that's almost otherworldly.
Right.
And if he hears this, I want him on. Joe, I want you on.
Come on, Joe.
I know. So, yeah, I mean, getting back to it, it is a celebration when people buy a Benz.
That's right.
You know, we bought one for my wife, at least one.
Yes, you did.
And, yeah, it was a celebration. It was kind of, it was fun. You know, I still have yet to get my own.
Well, you will.
I know.
I'll be there to help you.
You drove up in mine. You got to see what he pulled. That's the car I want that he pulled up in. But man, thanks for being on. I really do appreciate it. You can reach him. Is it Xavier Darden at Xavier Darden? Do you know your handle?
Oh yeah, yeah. So for my, it's going to be Xavier Darden official. If you go to my Instagram page, you just put in as Xavier Darden official. And
you have luxury automotive coach.
Yes, and you can reach me there. I've got all my links and everything on my page.
Right on. Got a link tree and all that stuff.
Oh,
you're not doing OnlyFans, are you?
Yeah, I got only. No.
Well, man, thanks for being on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I love you, Cardinal.
Love you too, buddy, Cardinal.
And if anybody's listening to this extent, please subscribe, rate, review, and share. We're trying to grow the podcast. Check out big.lighting.com. Check out What's Your Problem podcast.com. Thanks for listening. Xavier, thanks once again for coming
in. Thank you for having me, brother.